Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Welcome to another reality show. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and I am feeling fine, my friends. I have just spent like the last 5.5 hours at the Chambers in Kent, New York, calling in my essence, and I feel so incredibly good about this. I wanted to not only share it with my Facebook friends, I also wanted to share it with the radio friends that this whole idea of this is not about calling in our essence, but inviting in our essence. Because inviting in our essence, I'm going to speak from first person, from experience. Since I have been inviting in my essence, my desires have almost come to nil. Now, that is not to say that I am not open totally to having new experiences come into my life, but my wants, the idea of wanting something is diminishing. And I'll be honest with you, when I'm in the woods, it's completely gone. I want for nothing. I mean that with all sincerity. I am in the moment. I am expanded. I am in joy. And I'm just beautifully, beautifully contented. But it's, you know, gosh, I don't even think the word contented actually fits in this. Because there is an awareness that everything is still in motion. So I understand that there's still, you know, I can still expect the unexpected. There's still movement happening in my life. It's just not coming from my mind. It's coming from divinity. And there is just tremendous, tremendous sensations happening in my emotions, in my physical being, even in my spiritual perceptions. Everything is just opening up. And I really believe that, you know, as a single most powerful thing we can all do, it would be to invite our essence in. So I'm going to start making the announcement on every show to just remind everybody. It's as simple as saying, I invite my essence in. And what I'll probably end up doing is one night do a whole show dedicated to how that looks and what that means. But I did want to share that with everybody today. Okay, so I shared. I feel wonderful. Now I want to introduce my wonderful, fabulous, wait a minute, how does he call himself? You chocolate extraordinaire. Hot chocolate extraordinaire. Welcome to the show, Jeff Hutcherson. Hi, Jeff!
Hey!
Yay!
Hey, how's it going?
It is going fantastic. How are you, my sweet friend?
Oh, I am doing outstanding. I'm just having a wonderful, wonderful day. And I woke up this morning and I was in such a, how shall I say this, such a freeing type of mood that, you know, everything was just so joyously funny to me. Everything, I was having such a blast. And it was just some of the silliest, simple little things that would send me on this laughing jag that was just so incredible. You know, I mean, I started off this morning and, you know, before I got a good run, my stomach was hurting, so I was feeling pretty good.
Wow. Wait, your stomach was hurting?
Was hurting, yes, because I was laughing so much.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well, that's always a good thing. That's like when your cheeks hurt because you keep smiling so much and laughing so
much.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I've had that experience as well. And again, right, that's what we call divine pain.
Yeah.
We
start
like
making up those phrases. Yeah, it hurts.
Yeah, well, in all honesty, it's all divine pain, whether it comes from cracking up or whether it comes from, you know, sobbing and depression. It really is all divine. That's my personal opinion, anyways.
Right. See, I like how you put that together because we make this mixture of you can't have pain without the pleasures, like a divine pain. Yes, it's a good hurt, huh? It's a good hurt.
Well, you know, I mean, that does seem to be the it's what's coming to my awareness in tremendous force, even though it's not forced on me. meaning tremendous force, of the force of awareness, it's undeniable that everything is in its perfection. And I, you know, I say this with, you know, the state of the world right now clearly being in a space that appears to be chaotic.
Mm-hmm. I was talking about that with Stephen yesterday, which we were playing so well into what we're talking about tonight. When you're looking at situations and people want to say that they're all bad and that it's, you know, they want to be pessimistic about things, not realizing that you've got two choices in life. You can be an optimist or you can be pessimistic, and the pessimist gets you all of this negative stuff that you do not want. But if you give yourself the gift and the opportunity of seeing how things are perfect in your life and how these things are going on that you would call imperfect, that you would call problems, they're really gifts waiting for you to, you know, to discover them.
Well said. I agree. Because, you know, there is a space that it's all divine. You know, when we trust in the divinity in ourselves, see, again, let me just speak first person. When I trust the divinity in myself, it is very easy for me to trust the divinity in the planet, or i.e. in the cosmos, or, you know, even more selectively, the divinity in the Gulf of Mexico. There is divinity in this oil coming out into the waters.
Mm-hmm.
And I trust that divinity just as I trust when my own darkness is spewing up in my body, which it has. And, you know, mm-hmm. as I embrace it, as I acknowledge it, there is an alchemy that the negative emotions or the negative experience that is my darkness within, as I acknowledge it, as I embrace it, as I love it, turns into the gift, which I just clearly know once we acknowledge it in self, that reflection in the Gulf of Mexico will also turn into a gift. I mean, it's already happening by sheer awareness. It's brought global awareness to the whole industry of oil. I mean, that alone is a gift. You know, coming
mm-hmm.
from somebody who's been wanting to be, you know, wanting the world to be a little greener for quite some time. You know, this is, you know, I always say, now you're a healer, correct, as well, right? You've done healing work.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Don't we always heal first by getting iller before we get better?
Yeah, if you're not listening to the message.
well, meaning, but
you will get sicker.
It's got to come out. It's
got to
come out. Huh?
Yeah. It's going to come out in the way that it needs to, but you will get sicker the more you don't listen to the message. And that's what happens, because when you aren't listening to what's going on and what's happening in your life, the medicine just gets stronger, you know, and the message just gets stronger. You know,
very
so that's
good.
That's why people find themselves at different points getting sicker when they think they're getting better, you know, or they call it within that process, you know, because you have one situation where, and here's how one of the things spilled up for me in my experience in life. I was working at a job, and someone came to me, and they just said, "Oh, you think you're something, huh?" And then they just kind of like walked off.
Mm.
Well, now, from them saying that sentence to me, sparked off an attitude of who are they to judge me and why are they putting me down? And so it triggered a victim mentality in my mind, and it brought up so many other instances where I played the victim, where I played small, where I thought I agreed with other people's opinions about what they thought of me rather than listening to my own.
Right.
So that one statement dug into all of this illness that I already had going on within my mind, but it just pulled it up even more so to get down to the root of whatever it is that I had to, you know, let go of at that time.
Which, in my personal opinion, is the acceptance of it. Let me introduce your beloved other half, because I see that she's on. Welcome to the show, Dawn Leader. So good to have you here.
Thanks, Goldie.
You're welcome, baby.
There she is.
There she is, my partner in crime. She's your partner in crime too, Jeff. I'm not stealing her.
I am.
You get that.
Speaking
right.
of crime, that's where I was. I had to go back to my office and check because they were saying there was a burglar alarm.
Did everything work out okay?
Yeah, everything's fine.
Okay.
Wonderful. False alarm.
Oh. So we are talking about triggers and, you know, acknowledging our darkness, or at least acknowledging that there is a my philosophy or point of view is that acknowledgement of my darkness reveals the gift. And Jeff was saying that, you know, he too is understanding that there's the gift is in the darkness, and that, you know, the trigger is not necessarily a bad thing. It's you know, kind of something that happens when there's more awareness to be found around it. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth if that's not what you were saying.
Oh, okay. You're getting a good gist. That's fine. Keep going.
Okay. And Dawn, what is we started this out with the conversation being based on the Gulf. Do you want to share anything or?
Well, you know, my direct receiving of the information around the Gulf is that this is to bring awareness to the world of, you know, just a consciousness level, something we need to really take a look at how in a lot of areas of our life, we have been kind of bleeding to death in different ways. And that until you take a look at it and decide to do something about it, it keeps going. And I think I heard Jeffrey say that, you know, sometimes the medicine gets stronger. So sometimes the bleeding has to get pretty bad before there's enough awareness to decide to have a new outlook on something. And, you know, and in that, I would agree that it is a gift in that it's just bringing things to a new awareness and shifting your judgment or your perception around that.
Right.
Recognizing
that. That's the basis of all change. I mean,
right. Recognizing it was not necessarily wrong. It's just, oh, I'm aware differently now, and so I choose differently. And really bringing that darkness, if you want to say, or the bleeding and the lightness into harmony so that you can come to a higher perspective.
The alchemy of it, right? I mean,
the alchemy of it, right. The transformation into the observation and the connection without emotion and the oneness.
Yeah. Because, you know, that's so important what you said, that most people don't recognize in alchemy, awareness is the doing part. You know, it's not necessary. And I'm not saying that, you know, we don't need to, you know, bring whatever devices, you know, to the Gulf to cap this. But it reminds me of my mom. God bless the two of you. You guys always remind me of stories. But it reminds me of my mom who had cancer cut out of her body 3 times. First it was on her shin, then it was her breast, and then the third time, twice she had it cut out. The third time, it was inoperable. You know, you can't just keep cutting out the cancer. You got to deal with the cause of the cancer, because otherwise it's just going to pop up in another area.
Right.
You know, that's what alchemy says. Alchemy says I become aware of the oil and or bleeding and or darkness within myself, and let me address that, you know, pillaging of my being, which is pillaging the planet, which is pillaging the, you know, the cosmos. Let me deal with that because I have firsthand access to that oil, you know, mess. And as I do that, I can become a living example for all of us to be looking within. Where is our oil spill? Where are we bleeding within that we haven't, you know, been noticing it? And Jeff, this kind of is about what you wanted to speak about tonight, correct?
Well, it's one of the things that, you know, we can talk about tonight because it's all within our perception of how we view things. And, you know, for me, you know, the whole, within the spiritual community, the whole idea of like the darkness is something that needs to be shunned, that's a total crock for me because I don't think that the darkness is, there's anything to be afraid of. And when people speak of it in that context of that this is something that needs to be rejected, well, in essence, you're talking about, well, there's a part of you that needs to be rejected. And
right.
One of the things that I really like to share with people, and I'll just give this to you and see how you think about this, because, okay, here we are, my friend, and we have the sun shining. And the sun, this light, this is the most beautiful thing that we have in our experience, and it's showing us so many wonders within this world. And then we look upon this one thing, this one object of our attention, and we say, this is the greatest thing that I've ever experienced, and this is what life is all about. Let's just call it a tree. This tree is so beautiful. And then we look at this tree, and everything's amazing, and then suddenly we see this shadow that's casting off of the tree. And we go, wait a minute, what is this? It's shadow. Wait a minute, this shadow, this is not like this object that I see here. This shadow, well, this is the dark side. This must be a cruel thing. This must be something that needs to get rid of, that we need to get rid of. And like, well, how can we do that? And we just make all of these rules and make up all of these excuses and ideas of limitation about this shadow. And then I say to them, well, since the shadow is attached to the object, the only way to get rid of the shadow is to remove the object. Or get rid of the light.
Wait. Or shift our belief around it.
Well, exactly. And what I mean by that is that we have this idea of there's an ultimate right, there's an ultimate wrong, and we allow ourselves to be played back and forth within these ideas of limitation, within these ideas of wanting to become higher and finding a better place of being rather than just being and bringing your consciousness to where you are and understanding that your negative perceptions cannot stand up to your gaze. And then you can see the harmony within things rather than seeing things as this is different, this is bad, this is different, this is bad.
Right, the whole judgment of the, you know, polarity can be, in my personal opinion again, polarity can move us to center. No matter which end you're coming from, whether you're coming from the light or you're coming from the dark, it will move you to center because all paths lead to center. I mean, we can't get away from who we really are. It's just we can choose to get there kicking and screaming, or we can choose to surf the wave and, you know, have a little fun in the meantime.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's so interesting because, of course, I say all this, you know, 15 years into my process, only to come, me and Dawn were actually talking about this before the show, only to come to the, you know, true resolution that the process would never get me to mastery. The only thing that's going to get me to mastery is choosing mastery. Because, I mean, I say that because ultimately we could process and process and process. If we don't shift the belief, there's always something to process because we'll always find a polarity. We'll always find something right and or wrong. So we gotta pop out beyond that.
And what
No, please.
And what you'll find too is when you do that, you want to find your mastery. Well, then this is how you do it. You get yourself into the present moment.
Yeah.
Into right where you are. Because,
yeah.
And if you're talking about being in your center, let's look at this as a wheel, and the wheel is spinning. Now, let's give you a visual of a 10-speed bike wheel. And you see how fast the wheel is spinning on the outside, and you see all of that energetic activity that's going on in the furthest outside crest of the wheel. But when you look down towards the center, you can see calmness, you can see stillness, you can see the movement that's going on the inside. When it comes out, then you see that energy being scattered, that energy going outward. So the chaos is on the outside, whereas the centeredness is in the inside of the wheel. That's where the calmness is. And
yeah.
when you bring yourself to where you are within the present moment, that's the peace, that's the space, that's the mastery that you're looking for, to be conscious of how you are living. Now, understand this. As we visualize ourselves being differently and understanding that when we have those moments, as we're in our present moment conversation, we still, when we jump out of our present state of mind, become reaction-based beings rather than acting based beings. You know what
okay,
I'm saying?
Well, yes. No, well, but let's play a game. Want to play a little game?
Sure.
Shall we play a game? Okay, because how about if I'm going to say statements, and you tell me if they're in present moments or if they're out of present moments.
Okay.
You know, these are basically common things that you hear people say.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want people to recognize that, you know, their language will show them whether they're in the present moment or not. You know, and
go for it.
Is this okay? I mean, okay, so something
me.
Like, pardon?
So, no, it's great with me. Go for it.
Okay, so, and Dawn, jump in, too.
Okay.
Okay, because I don't want to lose you.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So the statement of when I retire. Is that a present moment statement or is that a not a present moment statement?
Go ahead, Tom.
Not a present moment.
Right. Now, because, well, let's just keep going. All right. Right now, I'm cleansing.
Present moment.
Present.
My boyfriend just pisses me off.
Oh,
I don't know where that came from. That must have came from one of the listeners. I don't know where it came from, but I got it. So.
Yeah. That's not a present moment statement.
Right, that's at a present moment. Okay. I'm afraid to go on this date.
Out of present
not
moment.
Present.
That's not present? See, that's okay. Even if you were acknowledging it in the moment?
The date is
because
happen.
you're like, yeah, you're looking to the future of what may or may not happen.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, very good. Okay. Will I ever be happy?
Ooh.
Not at present moment.
Yeah.
Right, because you can't ask that question. You have to be that question.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, choose in the moment. I'm happy or I'm not, but you can't ask. Right. I'm amazing.
Present moment.
Wait a minute.
Great.
Wait a minute. Ready? I'm sorry, because if I do present moment, it's just going to sound like it's one big, you know, one big Goldie having, you know, fun with you guys. Okay. No, I got it. Dawn, you're amazing. Now, is it still present if we notice it in another? Is that still present?
Yes.
Okay, so wait, what if I said, though, so wait a minute, so go back to it. If that's present, then why is I'm pissed at my boyfriend not present?
Okay, because when you're pissed at your boyfriend, there obviously must be something that he's done in the past or there's something that he's presently doing. You know, that's the one that statement says you're thinking about something that he did in the past. If he was pissing you off right now, you'd be an observation of, or you would say, what he's doing right now that's pissing you off.
Okay.
And when you're looking at someone else and you're saying you are amazing, you are within that moment acknowledging that piece that you adore, that you admire, that's within them. Now, granted, it's there and it's gone the minute that you say it, because you know it's not something that you can compartmentalize. But you're recognizing
right.
that beauty within the moment, and then that beauty continues to grow between the two of you because you acknowledge it in both. Because whatever you see in someone else, you see it in you first.
Yeah. No. Rock and roll. Good. Very, very good. All right. You guys want to try? You got one of you guys want to try?
Oh, it's very. I'll give you a nice little idea how you can understand the difference between choosing in the present moment and then choosing from past experiences, okay?
Okay.
All right. Chocolate or vanilla?
Vanilla.
Why vanilla?
I actually like chocolate, but I was like, ah. Well, I'll be honest, because I went, if I choose chocolate, he's going to think, you know, it was a sway because he's hot chocolate. I went into my mind, actually, with that one. I was like, well, I want to keep it neutral, but it was far from neutral because I actually just purposely went to the other side. So, okay, if it was the truth, both.
Okay. Why both?
I love both of those flavors.
And now, see, even with that statement, it's a past statement because you're not eating them right now. But now, chocolate or vanilla, choose.
Well, if I have to be present, none.
Why none?
Because I'm not eating either one.
Okay. So now here's what I want you to get at. When talking about making decisions from a present moment and, you know, making them from a fresh place, not from something that happened in the past.
Okay.
Someone says to me, chocolate or vanilla? And then I say, chocolate. Then they say, why? Because I choose to choose chocolate. That's in the present moment.
The choice, in other words, the choosing.
Yes, the choosing in that moment, not justifying, but I choose to choose chocolate.
Okay. Okay.
Okay,
so
Go ahead.
No, please, I'm sorry. I'm very wound up today. I won't even let you talk, for God's sakes, and that's just unlike me, so I'm going to stop.
And that's the thing that we get caught up in. When we have so many things that are within our consciousness and we are so scattered by what's within our experience and not giving ourselves the gift of understanding that we can choose peace in this moment right here, right now. And though I may have a lot of questions in front of me, I only need to answer the one that's right in front of me.
Right. Right.
You know, and for being in the present moment, there are no questions. There is just the experience. And you get to witness, or should I say, you get to experience your experience without any labels or judgments or ideas that it has to be a certain way.
Well, that's ultimate freedom.
Yeah.
You know, because... I was, again, when I was speaking to your beloved when she was driving, we were talking about, you know, the world for pretty much most of my life has called me, you know, not the nicest of names, you know, your basic weirdo, crackpot, you know, cuckoo bird, black sheep, you know, pick a term. And recently... there is a wave where people that I've known, you know, all my life are like, you know, Goldie, I need some energy work. Goldie, can you help me understand what's happening? You know, I look at it as my third dimensional gauge has, you know, shifted from, you know, basically going, you know, go away, Goldie. You're just, you're a whack job to, you know, literally intentionally and calling me, you know, up and saying, help me. And it's like, you know, of course, I'm delighted to help them, but it's a very different space than what has been in my past. I mean, I'm not sure if you guys are experiencing the same thing. I would imagine you are.
Well, I'm not necessarily experiencing that. What I'm experiencing is a whole, you know, it's basically on this whole being in the present, a whole new way of being in that present moment. And just recognizing what the energy is without there being a judgment and without having to have the whole story.
Oh, no.
So people come to me and energetically, don't give me the whole story because I don't need all that energy pulled from a different place into this present moment. Let's just focus on this present moment and feel that energy and observe that energy. And where do you want to be right now?
You ask that to the people?
Yeah, it's like I moved to this whole new place around this. You know, I don't necessarily need to bring into my energy field your whole story about your dark night of the soul or reason you had a migraine because it was connected to the earth or, you know, whatever that is.
Right.
I'm like, okay, let's recognize, I know you have a story, and let's honor that. And where are you right now? Oh, my head hurts. Okay, let's move to the next moment and see how we can shift that.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that in that the mind or the head, the brain, definitely wants to tell the story. I mean, many, many people want to tell me their story. And, you know, like you, I'm like, oh, okay, I get the picture. I don't even have the patience to listen to the whole rundown. You know, it's like, because I'm not interested in the whole experience of separation like you. It's like, come on, let's just get into awareness, because once you're in awareness, the alchemy happens on its own. I mean, that's been my experience anyways. I just got to get these people to be aware that they're not present. I mean, that's definitely one of the awarenesses. Or aware that they're denying an aspect of their self. It's like, don't deny it. Breathe with it. Just allow, you know, because people seem to be absolutely petrified that if they accept their darkness, they're going to die in the darkness. I mean, a physical death. And are you laughing, Jeff?
Yes.
Really?
Well, and I can, you know, I can get that at some point, because I remember for a very short time, that's what I thought too, until I chose and learned differently. Now, I'm not laughing that, you know, that sounds so bad or anything, but I just remembered when I thought so limited. And when we are looking at how we are choosing and how we are, you know, if we're going to tell a story, tell the story that you like. Don't tell the one that you've been, conditioned into. And one of the deeper things that we're talking about here is our human conditioning and this pattern of learned helplessness.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, and what I mean by that is that we've all had instances that come up in our life and problems and situations that
we wanted to find some form of resolution to, and we tried to control how the outcome was going to be, but it didn't turn out the way that we wanted it to be. And because it didn't turn out, we thought and brought into this belief of, well, if it didn't turn out, it's not ever going to turn out, so my life is always going to be this way. And so we keep recreating that same moment, that same instance, that same problem, because we adopt a belief that there must be something wrong with me. We take it personal.
Mm-hmm.
And so because we believe that there must be something wrong with me, we keep recreating it. And we keep thinking that this is going to be permanent. And now this is taking up so much of my energy because I've been dealing with this problem for the last 25 years and I keep getting the same asshole.
You know, don't you mind if... Go ahead. We all got something to say on this. Okay, you guys first.
I have to really share this amazing experience that I had that's really brought me to this new level. When I was in San Diego a couple weeks ago, I went to Hay House's I Can Do It conference.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
I was there with my friend helping her at her booth. And Lori Falk, I'll just give her a little plug. Who is
that's
the
all
angelic,
that's fine. Absolutely.
Angelic portrait messages she does.
Okay.
Right next to us was Darren Weissman, I think is his name, who has written a Hay House book on a process called the Lifeline Technique. And this is really a great technique in that they muscle test you.
Okay.
And it brings, they have like a little chart, and it brings up, you know, they muscle test you and it brings up certain awarenesses within your body. And you don't tell the story about it other than I'm testing you for fear. And, you know, it's showing up that there was fear possibly at age 12, let's say.
Okay.
And so I want you to go within your body and I want you to feel this fear. And I want you just to be in this place of fear. You don't have to identify it with a situation or with a story at all. Just feel the energy of that fear.
Okay.
And now we're going to connect your unconscious with your consciousness of infinite love and gratitude, and this whole process completely allows you to be in the power of fear and not have that same fearful, scared reaction, but be in fear and power.
So in other words, you experience the fear, but you're changing like the biological expression of it?
Yes, because you're infusing it with infinite love and gratitude, perfection. Because all of these emotions have valid representations and expressions in our life, just like, you know, if you want to call it the dark side or whatever, the fear could be part of your dark side, right?
Oh, definitely.
But it is also a place of power. It brings you awareness to be cautious. It brings you awareness to stay alert. It brings you awareness. At some point in time, our program changed to move from a place of power and fear to a place of diminishment in that energy.
Right.
And so... this is like a whole new, like different way for us to consider it. You're not telling your story. You're just muscle testing, so you're not bringing up tons of stuff. You're just looking for residual stuff within you.
Right.
And moving through it very quickly, very gracefully. And that's really the way our processes can go.
Well, and see, I absolutely agree with that. I mean, what is the name of this process?
Lifeline Technique.
Lifeline. Yeah, because
I'm going to go Google it.
Because it's the story is so much a waste of our energy when we could be using it in, you know, the infusing of it with love and gratitude and, you know, just the, it's almost like, I'm not quite sure how to help people become courageous. Do you have any tips, so to speak, on bringing out courage in a person? Like, most of the people that I talk to are on the phone. You know, so it's
right.
not like I can't, you know, I get that there's courageous things you can do physically. You know, you can, I don't know, skydive or, I don't know, cliff jump. But it's like, this. I'm speaking more from the emotional point of view. How do I impart in somebody, other than being a living example with stories of my own, that, you know, because I tell people, acknowledging the fear is the first step to courage, but letting go of the story, I don't know how to get them, and it's not getting them. I'm not sure really what to do, because at that point what I do is I bring in my story, I bring it, show them they're courageous by acknowledging it, and then when they start running it, you know, catch 22 in their brain again, I kind of step back and go, you know, okay, maybe not yet. Perhaps another day.
One of the things that you can do with when you're in that experience, because, you know, one of the things I talked about on a couple of radio shows ago, too, because, again, if your fear is whatever it is, a fear of snakes or a fear of spiders, whatever.
So let's go into emotions, though. Let's go a fear of relationships, because I'll be honest,
okay,
that's,
yeah, that's
what
fine.
I seem. Yeah, a sure. fear of not being lovable.
Sure. Okay, so you've got this relationship person that's a fear of not being lovable. Okay, so this is the belief that they have. They learned at some point, and somebody taught them, that for you to be lovable, you need to have my approval. And
right.
because you don't have my approval, you're not lovable. And so they made somebody else's thoughts about them more important than what they think and what they feel about themselves.
Okay.
So if this seems like this is such a hurdle, now imagine this. You've got two glasses of the same size. Both are filled equally to the very edge of the cup of the glasses with water. Okay?
Okay.
One glass represents fear. The other glass represents courage. Now, if we're going to base this on anything that we have within our lives, if we're pouring more energy into the fear, then we have the fear glass overflowing. But now if we have more of our focused attention going to the courage glass, then the courage is overflowing and there is no fear. Now, what does it take to get that water overflowing, to get that water started within the process of overflowing? Does it take half a glass? No. It just takes one more drop of courage than it does
right.
for fear.
That's a great
visual. So one drop
right.
to get it going. Okay, one drop within your thought process, within your belief about yourself. Okay, for what it is about relationships. Because if your idea of relationship is that, okay, I'm alone because I'm not lovable. Well, that's the fear that's going and that's slowing. So now you go, wait a minute. I don't have to be lovable to love. You know what? I like me just the way that I am. You know what? I want a relationship because I love how I love me, and I love to love other individuals because we can have fun together when we are in a relationship. When we can get together and I can say, I love you for who you are no matter what. When I say that to me, the person that I'm going to be with can reflect that right back at me as well. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to be in this relationship and to explore and to see how much fun we can have just by letting each other be who we are. But understanding that I am responsible for my happiness, not the other person, not the other thing. I don't have to look outside of myself for love, acceptance, and approval.
That's
now,
a big part.
Yeah, but you see, those were like, what, maybe 12 drops. But that's
right.
That's what it's like when you get it flowing and going. And so
right.
within your present moment, that's what happens, and that's what changes your baseline vibration. That's what helps shift your core beliefs. Because really, any situation that you're looking at, how about this? Any situation that you look at as a problem, if you have a core belief that, man, this is going to take some time, no, let's change that. Life is meant to be joyful. Life is meant to be joyous. Whatever you're facing and whatever you're dealing with, if you look at it as a problem, this too will pass.
Mm.
And you can look forward to just living a happy life because you deserve it.
Most people don't believe that, though. They think that you're blowing steam up their butt.
Right. And that's
and I'm not saying that, you know, because I not only believe it, I believe I'm living what you just said.
I allow them to be in that place. And
to be in the place of not believing it?
Yeah. If that's where they're at, that's where they're at. They have to choose. This is
right.
all about choosing. If they're
right.
choosing to be in that space, there is not one thing you can do to help them be different. It's only in their desire to change that
right.
we
That's,
can help give insights that will help shift it.
Right.
That means acceptance of.
On my end, see, that I need to accept. It's like people
end.
Will come to me for, they'll want to change to a degree, and I'll want them to keep going and, you know.
Because
as
you see their hearts in the purity of who they are. I see that all the time.
Yeah.
Too. You know, I see it all the time, and I look at people and I go, I say this a lot to people now. I know who you really are.
Yes, yes, I
and
see
I,
you exactly.
I love who you really are, and it's okay for you to be where you're at.
Right.
And I'm not going to listen to the story about it.
Well, that's what, because what's ending up happening is we'll have a momentum, and then when the momentum stops, what I'm finding is, if I continue to stay in space with them, my vibration drops.
Right.
And I don't. If there is a way to maintain my vibration in a space that's not necessary, and I get that it's acceptance, but my honest truth is I'm not there yet. People don't need to be any certain space, but there's a momentum I can see when people are, you know. Literally going, okay, I'm creating this. They're using the language of, you know, looking within. And, you know, as Almin would put it, the changeless change, you know, where they're not putting their energy on their exterior. They're just putting their observation on their exterior. They're putting their energy on awareness of the interior, of what's going on with them.
Mm-hmm.
And those conversations rock my world. I mean, truly, whatever level of awareness they're at, when it's awareness they're seeking, I just can't even tell you how much I enjoy it. And then you'll reach a point where, I mean, you can see it. It's like they'll hit a wall, and you'll hear it. They'll become defensive. It's no longer about self. You know, it's a certain painful experience. And this is based in relationships that I'm referencing, that, it becomes obvious. It's like, back off. And I'm like, backing off. You know, but yet they'll still want the interaction of the conversation. And I'm like, I can't keep doing the conversation now that we're in blame. Once we're in blame, you've lost me as a contender, you know, I mean, as a participant. I have no patience for people that are still in blame game. I get that they're there, but I don't want anything, you know, energetically, I have no attraction to that.
Well, do you want to get to that space of where you won't allow their energy to bring you down?
That would be fabulous. Of course, that's ultimate. Well, but let me ask you a question. So is that the ultimate goal for me to be in acceptance of them, or should the ultimate goal be that if you want to have a conversation with me, be in the game of awareness?
I'll put it to you this way.
Okay.
One way you can play with this, because, again, quite honestly, Goldie, we all make too much of this stuff. It can be so easy and so simple when we really just find what works for us. So I'll give it to you in this particular phrase, and then I will show you another avenue of where your mindset will try to resist this, and then we'll just knock that mindset out of the way.
Okay.
I love you so much, I don't care what you think.
Okay.
So I love you so much, Goldie, I don't care what you think. For me to look at you and to say that I love you, I am in my best, most happy, loving state. And for me to see you any other way outside of loving is going to take me out of where I want to be. So I love you so much, I don't care what you think. I'm not going to let your opinion about the situation, about what's going on, take me out of my loving space, because I'm looking at you and I'm accepting you as you are. So what you have experienced in the past, and you're talking about, well, I'm not there yet, what we've been conditioned to do is to place our value on things outside of ourselves. So if I'm a healer and I'm working with you, Goldie, and I'm giving you everything that I've got, and you are just working at it and working at it, and then suddenly you hit this brick wall and you can't go any further, and then I get depressed too because now I'm placing my value as a healer on what you're doing. Like I can control your behavior. I cannot.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the truth.
And so
but God, the control freak in me has a tough time with that.
Oh, okay, Goldie, let's see if
you
can take
this. Goldie's always honest. Well, because you're absolutely right. It really is, okay, they've reached that point, surrender it, you know, and I mean, because I don't even know how to surrender it.
Goldie.
I feel like
Goldie.
I don't do it very lovingly. Let's put it that way. That's
Goldie.
How I feel. Yes.
Wait for it. Here you go.
Wait for it?
Mm-hmm. Now, listen to this and let's see how this sinks in for you, okay?
Okay.
And then, Dawn, do you have the heart? Do you have the, what's that you were going to Google? Have that ready, Dawn. Okay, so, Goldie.
Okay.
Control and self-sabotage are very closely related.
Okay.
Can you feel how that's true?
Totally. Totally. Because they both take me outside of space that I have any control of.
The only thing you can control is you and how you perceive things.
Right.
And now, because if you have something within you that's still operating from this lack-filled space, that says you're not worthy, that says you're not there yet, and you've just figured out exactly how to get what you want, you know exactly what not to do to get it.
That's true. Well, let me ask you a question, though, and I agree with everything you just said. I mean, Jeff, you are always speaking true wisdom. I honor it. But I have life experiences that show up, so we can talk about this, right?
Sure.
Okay. Now, as an empath, it is very challenging for me to disconnect when they have the momentum that they're getting into awareness, I can feel that momentum, and I'm like, yes, 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 yes. When they have the momentum that they hit the brick wall and they, you know, they kind of throw their hand up, metaphorically speaking, and say, stop, I can feel that too. And so, you know, I would guess you're kind of, actually, as I say this, I guess what you're saying is if I can't control it, when they put the hand up, honor the hand, stop, and move on.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're
saying?
Well,
allow them to be in that space and allow them to breathe for a moment.
Right.
And what says it has to be a move on? What says it's not just a, I honor where you're at, I honor where I'm at. It's all in divine, perfect
harmony of each other's path, and so it is.
Right, right. Even going as far as saying I'm available if you want to continue, or is that actually going into the future, so that doesn't work either? That's why you ended it with, and just so it is. In other words, it's not a move on. It's not a get caught up in it. It's just an acknowledge it and honor it.
And even before you get to this space, it sounds like there's a lot of things that have happened
mm-hmm.
before you get to that space that have not been honoring of one another.
Yes, and I would, to be honest, I will take full responsibility for that. I'm really learning how to counsel people. And it's not that I don't counsel people. I don't think I do it so eloquently. I can bring a lot of awareness to the table, not just through my words, but even just through the work that I do on my own being. The energy that's coming off me is bringing awareness.
Right.
But my sensitivity to people in where they are on the journey, meaning in that they're kind of just awakening, I'm like a freight train, you know, boop, boop, get out of the way. Either get on or get out of the way, because, I mean, I'm just plowing through them. You know, and so far I've basically said, listen, if you want me to be your teacher, that's who I am. So, you know, but I think that there's room for improvement on my end.
Well, and that is who you are. And so instead of looking to change, allow your own natural progression, because I can tell you there have been times in my life where people have looked at me and said, did you really just say that to that person? That was kind of rude.
Right.
And, I mean, and I'm sure at
some
level.
And it was exactly what they needed to hear. Yes, yes.
And at some level, you look at me and go, gosh, I can't ever imagine you saying anything rude, right?
Correct.
You know, I mean,
yes. You are
not to be presumptuous, but.
No, but you are a gentle soul. It's why we get along so well. It's why we can room together.
And so you're in your perfect place, and people are showing up for you
right.
in the perfect timing also. So you're not being present and honoring yourself. It's always great to be evolving and to be opening to new awarenesses and recognizing how perfect we are in this very moment.
Yes. No, and you know, I really do have moments of time, because it's so funny. I opened up the radio show, basically, and I was all over Facebook going, I have no desires. And here I sit and go, okay, well, my desire is to maybe be a little more polished in my counseling. And it's funny, because I didn't know that. I mean, like, it comes and goes. Like, it's not like I think about this day in and day out. You know, it's like I really do have spaces where I'm in total contentment and peace with my own being. My dance with other people would probably be, my dance with other people used to be significantly relationships, you know, my male partners. Now it is significantly not that, and it's very much people that, you know, I'm working with, playing with, dancing with, you know, I don't even necessarily know what to call it. But like you said, divinely they're called to be with me, and you know, it's an interesting space, because like I said, I can be a freight train. And I mean, I do agree with what you say, because I have read books on like Rumi and Osho, where they talk about masters pushing people out of windows on third-story buildings. You know, I personally have never done that, but, you know, metaphorically, I know I've pushed people. I know I have, and, you know.
Well, I think Jeff's
Jeff does this other radio show, and Dr. Stephen Hairfield.
It's a what?
It's a Wear Talk Radio with Dr. Stephen Hairfield on Wednesday nights at 6:30.
There you go.
And okay. And Dr. Hairfield talks about when he was, you know, studying with the monks, you know, they asked him what his greatest fear was, and I think he talks about a painful, long painful death or something like that. So the next day the monks ask him to go to town to get supplies. And he, you know, gets 10 feet out the gates of the monastery, and there's a huge tiger.
Mm.
And, you know, so talk about drastic. You know, and it was all set up by the monks, you know, basically.
Wow. Oh, wow.
You know, so he, you know, he
right.
like going through this, you know, basically having to change his drawers and, you know, this tiger on him or whatever it was. And, you know, he looks up and there are the, you know, the head monks or whatever they're called, you know, kind
right.
of going,
right.
ah, you know. So,
did he learn his lesson well?
I believe
yeah.
he did.
Okay. And it's interesting because, you know, part of the fear that people have that I have noticed that I do work with is they have a fear of speaking up, you know, speaking their truth. And, you know, I tell them, listen, I don't just speak my truth. I invite, encourage, and almost demand you speak your truth too. You know, it's not like I'm coming out of as like a freight train, but I'm expecting them to be, you know, a lotus flower. You know, I encourage freight trains. I mean, that has been what I resonate with as a teacher as well. So, I mean, indeed. I mean, I do feel, you know, I'm
well,
okay with who I am.
Well, one of the things you want to take a look at when you are, you know, comparing yourself, which is what you're doing, which is why you have this idea that you're a freight train.
Right.
And noticing that, you know, I was sharing with Dawn the other day this lesson that came to mind that, you know, I share with people, is that there are so many things on this planet. Everything on this planet is unique. And
right.
so we get caught into this madness of trying to find the same thing or trying to be just like this other person or trying to be just like them. Hold on a second. Everything on this planet is unique. So are you. So there is nothing for you to be measured by when nothing is exactly like you. And so if you visualize yourself as being a freight train, and that's fine too because I've been found to be very intense for people and they cannot be around me. Now, whatever they're finding that's intense, be it the fact that I choose to be happy, I'll do it in their face. I'm constantly that way. No matter what's going on in my life, I choose to be happy, and it pisses them off because I'm not what they think I should be. You know, people can get upset by that.
Yeah.
You know, and again, that's their choice. But there is nothing like you, Goldie. So to think that you need to be more polished when you are perfect as you are, and again, it's not taking into account the idea that you are going to be a reflection of a good or great healer by the people that you have guided to heal, not that you have healed at all. Because look, there is source energy. There is this entire universe that's working with each individual on this planet, giving them all of the messages, all of the information that they need to make their life work the way they want to in this present moment. And if they're not listening to all of those different avenues that source is telling them, what makes you think you can?
Yeah. It's valid. No, but thank you. What you just said really struck home for me, and thank you very much for that. Because I'm a big observer of, you know, like sitting in a snowstorm, literally recognizing every snowflake is different. You know, so that is an analogy that I have contemplated and, you know, kind of allowed it to like marinate in me.
And when you said that, it's like, yeah, huh. I don't just, wow, that was pretty, that was deep. Thank you.
My pleasure.
It was. Yeah. It calmed me right down. Down, girl.
An opportunity
okay.
to blow a mind.
You must be great at parties and bar mitzvahs and weddings.
For some reason, I do attract attention.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like I'm always thinking, gosh, we need to have a DJ and we need to have Jeff at all those events. sitting in the corner counseling everybody at the event. Woo, that was hot. Okay, so wait a minute. I don't even know if we got off track. Wait a minute. Let me, one of the things you had wrote about what we were going to talk about, which I really want to talk about, is how people fool themselves into thinking they're making progress when they're genuinely still stuck. I'd like to talk about that because I find that to be kind of prevalent. Again, I try to focus on the courage because I don't know how to move people out of that. And like Dawn was saying, there's really nothing I can do. But maybe we can bring awareness just by talking about it.
Sure, you go first, Dawn.
Oh, you want me to pose a question?
Well, let's see.
I'm feeling Dawn going, talk about what?
No, I was following. I was following.
Oh, okay. I honor that.
I just was going to play off of what you guys talked about, but this is good.
Okay.
For me, it's really a fine line to walk because at some level you have so convinced yourself that you've shifted and you believe differently.
Right.
And till some obscure trigger comes up and all of a sudden you're right back in the same place.
That's true.
And so is that really that you hadn't shifted your perception, or is it really what we call a new layer of the onion being peeled back and a new awareness being brought to this?
Well, I believe it's the latter. I mean, that's me.
Yeah, that's kind of the place that I would go with it also. So I'll be interested to hear where Jeff goes with it. It is because we are always shifting and we're always changing. And I have a hard time comprehending where that could be a possibility in my life, like where I really had changed my thought I changed my perception and underlying I hadn't. Well, I got it. Sorry, I'm kind of rambling here.
No, you're not rambling. You're fine. I'm getting huge chill pressure on my crown as you're speaking, just so you know. I don't know what that means, but that's like tingling pressure.
So this is like really good because as you know and some of your listeners maybe know, you and I studied with Almeen last year, and
yeah.
I was really feeling empowered from a lot of that work that we were doing, and I really felt like I was stepping into a new place. And then going through some of those courses, I kind of felt like all that got shook up at some level, and I was like, oh, maybe I wasn't really in the place where I thought I was in July.
Okay.
And so, you know, you kind of have this sense of power, and then all of a sudden you start to self-doubt.
Right.
And so you pull that old story back in again and start replaying it of self-doubt. And so all of a sudden, you know, I've created new awarenesses in my life, and I've, you know, done some new new work and some more of Almeen's work and some more of my own work and, a couple other things. And all of a sudden, I'm recognizing for the first time in my life, I said this to Jeff, I think on Saturday, and I could hardly say it on Saturday, and I've said it like three times since then, and so it feels better and better each time.
Awesome.
It is now the first time this lifetime I'm not afraid of who I really am.
Well, rock and roll, Dawn.
And that is the truth of our power, the truth of our oneness. And So last summer I felt powerful, and then some of that all got shook up. So maybe that's kind of what we're talking about is, when it gets all shook up and who knows, maybe 3 months from now I'll get shook up again. But,
I would almost
like
say
a new level of it.
Exactly. It's almost like the integration. Like we take it in to a certain point, but then in order to integrate it, it's going to go through like a chaotic state of being. And then however it happens from a natural point of view, that chaos pops into the more expanded experience. It's almost the sequence of how it comes into our being is first it starts off a thought, so it's kind of just in our heads, and then it kind of drops into, I would say our heart, but I'm going to use what it really happens would be, it drops into my belly, which is when I'm starting to get sick, going, I'm a little uncomfortable here because it's new. It's new. Mm-hmm. It's not a part of me. It's inside me, but it's not a part of me yet. Then in the chaos, it's like like I reach a point where I'm like, I surrender, because this is what I did with Almeen's stuff. And I went, okay, I just need to be. I can't process this in my mind anymore. I can't pretend that I have this stuff down, because I don't have it down. In fact, it has me down. it has me. And then out of nowhere, for whatever the reason, I seem to be like, wow, I'm just noticing my awareness is much more expanded than it was. So I think that's absolutely a good description of how it happens. Jeff, what do you think?
Take a look at how you are creating that story around what's happening, because our jump-off point was what happens here when we feel like we're doing something and we're stuck, and it feels like we're still stuck, but we're telling ourselves we're making progress, okay? So with all of the experiences that you may have had, and you have this one piece that seems to be like reoccurring in your experience, well, for me, what's happening within the present moment is that all of my power is within the present moment. And what I didn't realize as these things were going on, when I was moving through this struggle, this thing that I was going through that I thought was so horrid that I was saying, I'm getting so much growth from. Well, what was happening was that I was going through the struggle, not paying attention to why I was struggling. And then when I got through the struggle, I didn't learn anything. All I did was got myself ready for the next struggle. Now, understand this. I've been playing with the idea that whatever you have in your mind as a limitation cannot stand up to your full attention. We have things that are within our awareness, and we say, what do you want to do about this? Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know. And then we give some opinion. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. We just said, I don't know. And then we gave this other opinion for as far as justifying why we're still going to stay stuck. So what you're saying is, in that moment, is that, I see that problem over there. I don't know if I'm ready to deal with it. That's what you're really saying. And so when you really give it, whoa, what was that?
I don't know. Hello?
Is that Rocky?
It's my dog. It's the dog.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, the
apparently
dog seems—it's the dog snoring.
he's growling because he wants more attention.
Oh, he's growling. Okay, I mean, he's a, you know, I like anger, but if I'm putting anybody to sleep, I've got issues. Pissing people off, that I'm used to. Putting people to sleep, that I'm not used to. I'm sorry. Please go on, Jeff. Dawn, I actually thought it might be you.
Thank
I was like, oh, my God, you just, well, because from last show when you, never mind. I love you, baby.
Right.
It's all good. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly. Okay. Okay, wait, but this is a good, you're in a great space, Jeff. Don't lose your train of thought, because then the freight train will have to come through and, you know, and we'll have to wait 15 minutes at the light before we can cross. Okay.
And so when you have something that's within your awareness, it feels limiting. It feels like a total lack attack.
Mm.
You know why we have such a relief when we surrender?
Mm.
What are we surrendering? We are surrendering our continued resistance to not finding a solution to our problem. Okay.
See, where
I'm
most
giving
people
up the
look
struggle.
At surrendering, oh, wow, that's so brilliant because you're right. That's why flow comes when we surrender. See, but most people, and I can speak of this personally, feel like they're surrendering the need to know.
The need
the
to
knowing.
Control.
Yeah.
So you're in that space and you surrender, you let go of the resistance. You say, okay, I'm going to stop struggling with this. I'm ready to see the truth about this situation. What have I been thinking about this situation?
Mm-hmm.
And so that develops and that holds your question. And so if your question is, how come I'm always struggling within my relationships? Oh, beautiful. Because the question holds the belief that you have about the situation. So if my question is, why am I struggling in all of my relationships? You believe that relationships are struggle. You believe that they're not easy. You believe that they're not fun, fast, friendly, and flowing. And you believe that relationships might have some form of constriction or restriction in them. Whatever the case may be, I'm just pulling out ideas of why I thought or I knew that I had trouble within my past relationships. And so when I understood that I had those beliefs about those relationships, well, then with that understanding that that belief was the corrupt way of thinking, and so I was getting these corrupt type of results that I didn't want. And so I went, wait. So the question I can be asking is, how can I have fun, fulfilling relationships? How can I be at more at peace with the people that I'm associating with? Well, that opens up a different avenue. That opens up a whole new way of thinking. That opens you up to flow because now you have found relief. And in finding that relief, you move yourself into a different flowing experience. And you begin to realize the answers are right there within your experience. And your answers are the answers for you. They're not for someone else to justify. They're not for someone else to tell you, well, what do you think about that? It doesn't matter what the peanut gallery thinks about what you're doing. It has to be, and if it's valid for you, that's all it ever has to be. It need not be valid for anyone else.
Yeah, that's brilliant, because I see how it's so simple. If you're asking why am I struggling, you're clearly in the vein of the struggle, that you want to know more about the struggle as opposed to when you ask, you know, how can I become more aware of, you know, flow in my relationships? How can I become more aware of peace in my relationship? Then you're clearly, you know, at least, you know, in the direction of where you want to be. You're asking the question of where I want to be instead of the question of where I don't want to be.
Right. And see, the one piece that we have, too, is that, you know, we're in a constant state of evolution, a constant state of continuum. And so since that's the case, we never get it wrong because we never get it done. There is no end destination. There is only the enjoyment on our journey.
That's truth. You know, because it's so interesting when you say things like this, because I'm getting all this stuff like from like an alchemical point of view, and I'll explain as best as I can. Like I'm releasing time and space. And I'm not just releasing it, you know, as a, you know, like I'm letting go of the words time and space. I'm starting to genuinely not, you know, I don't worry about time. It's like, you know, I just set it in my intentions. When it's time to go to work, you'll know it's time to go, you know, that, and you'll go. And so I still work within the, you know, the areas of time. But when I'm in the woods, you know, I'm like, the only thing I'm caring about from time and space is, am I going to get rained on? Or is the sun still shining? You know, but it's not, you know, it's like, and I'm starting to see in these, you know, it's almost like the next expanded level. Like time and space are questions that you ask, you know, when I was in time and space, it was always, I'll be happy when, you know, I have a child. That was my thing. I'll be happy when. You know, and I am experiencing bliss at moments. And not only do I not have a child, I mean, but I do have, you know, I take care of children, and clearly I have a relationship with these two little girls that, you know, I'm their caretaker. So I'm not their mom by biological means, but in the hours of the day that they're, you know, in my care, I am their mom. So I do get to, you know, play the role. These are just things that I'm noticing, again, but when I let go of time and space, everything opens up so much greater, because it's not even that Anya's a child, my oldest. I'm actually, when I'm letting go of time and space, Anya's like this master teacher teaching me a purity that she lives just because she's only been on the planet for 5 years. You know, it's pretty amazing.
Well, it is amazing just to be in that space of joy right where you are, rather than putting it into your future.
Right. Well,
you know,
the truth is, I never felt it, the joy when I was putting it in my future. I mean, I never felt it at that point.
Right. Right, because it's always
when. Right.
Yeah. So recognizing the joy that's present is what it's all about.
It's such
like
a
how many moments can you add up that are joyful?
Mm.
And all of a sudden you have a whole day.
I mean, that is a whole. Yes.
Yeah, I did this one day. I did it. Well, I have done it other days also, but one day I totally dedicated to this one a couple years ago, and I woke up in the morning and I said, I'm only going to do what really brings me joy today. And you know, by 1 o'clock I was folding laundry and it was joyful, and at, you know, 6 o'clock in the evening I was doing dishes and it was joyful.
Huh.
And it was just that I had made that a priority. I made it a priority to only do things that were joyful in my life, and routine things could be joyful then.
Well, what do they say? The drudgery of doing it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's living in the present moment. Because, you know, what's that saying? Chop wood, carry water. Enlightenment, chop wood, carry water.
Exactly.
You know, it's not changing. What's changing is us. While we're the being of who we are is different, you know, when we're in that joyful space. Because there is joy in the mundane experiences of the world, especially when most of the mundane is maintenance work for our physical being. You know, that should be a joyful space to maintain the physical.
as long as our being is present, I believe it is.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Right. Because in every situation, it is a moment to acknowledge and honor yourself. I mean,
yeah.
Every single moment. Every interaction with a human being, every interaction with every animate object that surrounds you, because everything that surrounds you does have a consciousness. And we're talking about being, you know, more conscious about our lives and thinking that consciousness is something to aspire to. Ladies and gentlemen, we are consciousness. We are in it. Consciousness is like air. Every breath you take in, you are in consciousness. Now, the whole thing that we've been talking about this evening is the questions that we've been having about consciousness. What do we feel about this? And how would we experience consciousness this way? And what's been opening up is the changing in our constant consciousness, that I like to say, because if all of our power is within the present moment, it's even as I think of how much growth that I have gone through, and then if something negative pops up that happened in the past, it's not like it's an old thing that just came up to my awareness. It's something that that came up into my mind, that came up into my thoughts, that I chose to activate now, and it diminished how I was thinking about myself because I haven't handled that yet. I haven't got that quite right. And I was making that choice in that present moment, doing it now. Not realizing
right.
that I can choose something different within this present moment.
Yeah, choice is huge in this. Choice is huge.
Yes. And when you're talking about how you are looking at your life, take a look at it as a spider web. And I said that you don't need to have to answer all of the questions that you have in your experience. You just need to answer the question that's right in front of you. Well, guess what? When you answer the question that's right in front of you, then that changes all of the other questions that are within your experience. Well, how's that? When you solve a problem at the one that's closest to you and you find the truth of it and you have some form of resolution, some absolution with it, well, then now this entire web of your constant consciousness changes and you find how you have this link within other situations of that same energy. And it comes at you again. You think it's of the same thing of the past, but it's just that same energy that was created along with this other bundle. So if I have this personal relationship between, you know, of, I say, a very close personal relationship, like, you know, with the wife or with Dawn, and then now I have this other relationship issues with other friends and things of that nature, and why is it the same energy? Well, it's that same belief and thought process that if I think that I am disagreeable, or I'm agreeing with someone's negative opinion about me, and then it's going to show up in another relationship with someone else, because if one person thinks negatively of me, and then I'm going to co-sign on another person's negative thoughts about me too, and then I'm going to think that, oh, wow, I really am an asshole. And that's not the truth at all.
Right.
You know, it's just that you have this idea, this learned helplessness, this belief that you are less than, that keeps perpetuating itself through every experience within your life. And it's something that
right.
we've all been conditioned into, and we can change all of that too.
Well, it's holographic. I mean, because I absolutely agree with everything you say, that when you answer the question in front of you, it literally can put you in a different everything. I mean, a different reality. Your future has shifted. You know, everything has shifted because once you get that insight, it changes your vibration. It changes everything. That you're no longer on the same path. So the other eight questions, like you said, would naturally dissolve. And, you know, it's not like you look for the other eight questions to naturally dissolve. They just won't be nagging at you anymore. You know, and it's like, because people say to me all the time, I don't know what to focus on. You know, and I always say, well, what's in front of you? What's nagging you? What's bothering you? You know, it's like, and they're like, well, you know, I thought we're not supposed to focus on the negative. And I'm like, well, you're not supposed to deny it. I think people get a little, what I call extreme swingers. You know, they're either,
you know, deep into their story and not letting it go, or they're completely ignoring it and just kind of smiling pretty for the camera, and inside they're dying.
Right.
Like, you know, we want a happy little medium here. A little balance.
Yeah, that's what I am on the most basis. I'm a happy medium is what I am.
Exactly. Yeah, that's. I think it's a TV show, too. It's called The Happy Medium.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, that wouldn't be on CBS because she's not very happy most of the time. No, I happen to really enjoy that show, so I won't pick on it. So please, Dawn, share what you share any thoughts or anything.
Well, it is, you know, it can be, if we allow it to be, you know, just for us to observe as people move from this place. And I think you've said this multiple times, just being the example of being something different than that, you know, being, you know, coming from a place of joy, coming from a place of awareness. And, you know, we look back at people need to live it and breathe it and be it. And as you walk life, that energy is emitted, and that's how shifts change and happen.
Isn't that like that statement, something to the effect of the only thing that's ever really changed things in this world was a small group of conscious people, or a small group of conscious people can create change. In fact, it's the only thing that ever has.
Yes, right. That's exactly it. And I even go further in that, it doesn't have to be a full-fledged group meeting together all the time, or, you know, I know there are these things called sacred activism now. However, it can be your radio show.
Indeed.
You know?
Indeed.
Definitely your radio show, or definitely even, you know, you talked about, you know, a few minutes ago we were talking, and it's like, well, just check in with someone, you know? I mean,
right.
Okay, am I thinking about this in the present moment, or am I not thinking about this in the present moment? Can I check in with you?
Right.
And, you know, and just have a couple people that you can utilize as support for one another and hold that vision for one another of being in that space.
That's very powerful. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Wholeheartedly. It's very powerful.
It is very powerful, exactly. Because it used to be mastermind groups, and now I think it's almost master awareness groups. You know, holding the space of presence.
Yeah.
Because that is where... That's where the action is, you know, the rest of the time. It's almost like we're celluloid. You know, we're not even really making a difference. We're just kicking up a lot of energy. But, you know, the fact that the dance is so precise that it is through presence that the changes will take place, you know, at least the changes that I'm referencing, to have support to stay there when the whole world is trying to pull you out of presence, you know, it's like, that's, I agree with that. I mean, wholeheartedly. I don't have it, but I agree with it. Or let me say, I kind of, maybe it's time to create that for myself. That would probably be the more accurate statement.
And look at how that phrase just came flowing right out of you. For as far as the world is, you know, trying to pull you out of the present moment. And again, that statement came from the learned helplessness. programming that we've all carried. So now, check this out. If you want to change the entire scope of how you look at your life, and you're looking at your, looking at how you are creating your life, and realizing that that conditioning has been there and that it is there, and you're going to change it. That mentality has been, the world is out to get me. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now, I'm just going to change one word. It's going to change the entire feel of that whole statement. The world is out to gift me.
Oh, nice.
So, you realize, and again, give this a few more seconds here. I'm going to say this again and just be in this space. The world is out to gift me.
I mean, it's easy to breathe that in. It's beautiful.
Now, do you feel how, within the present moment, you can see everything within your life as an experience, as a gift, and realize that you don't have any relationship issues now? You don't have any financial issues now. You don't have any self-esteem issues now, because you're in the present moment. You are an acceptance of who you are. You're an acceptance of where you are. And you are inviting in to yourself, and you are being the purest form of receptivity that you can be within this moment. You are opening yourself to the invitation, to the receiving of that of which you truly are.
Yeah, that's that whole believing is seeing, as opposed to seeing is believing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
Feeling it. Everything in your life is going to boil down to how you feel about your life. And if that's the case, if that feels accurate, because if you had a certain amount of money, you're going to allow yourself to feel a certain way. If you had a certain wardrobe, you're going to allow yourself to feel a certain way. If you have a certain body weight, you're going to allow yourself to feel a certain way. So your entire life, no matter what you're looking at, it's going to boil down to how you feel about your life. And how can you lose anything, my love, when everything you have in your life will be a feeling that you generate?
Say that again.
Everything in your life will boil down to the feeling that you generate.
Well, see, and the key word in that statement is generate, not respond to.
Right.
Because generate clearly is implying creatorship.
Yes. Ownership, responsibility.
Or ownership. Right.
Yeah, same thing. Doesn't matter. It's not the word.
Okay,
how you
indeed.
Feel as you use them.
Indeed. Okay, hold on. Wait. We have a caller. If you don't have your little hand up, if you want to chime in and become part of this discussion, hit the number one on your button so I know to bring you on. And I would love it if you come on. I know who you are. I know that phone number. This is my friend who called in last time too. But you gotta hit number one, otherwise I don't know if you want to talk. Okay, Allie, we'll continue on. So indeed, so we are the generators of our feelings, and I would assume awareness around that is just beyond. I mean, that is a golden key at a certain level of experience. You know, to be aware that we're generating. Because just like you said, that simple shift between the world is out to get me, the world is out to gift me. I mean, that simple shift. One of the things I'm noticing through awareness is subtle differences creating vastly different experiences. You know, that's actually get and gift. I mean, if you think about it, what are we talking, three letters? Two letters? You know what I mean? If we break it down to even that, that is so subtle, And yet it takes you from, you know, it takes you from the dungeon to the penthouse.
Yes.
That's pretty amazing.
Very subtle, very simple, very powerful, very fun for me because I can remember throughout my whole life where this is how I've always wanted to be, is who I am now, and how I had been so chastised about that because I wasn't meeting other people's standards and expectations. And there's no way that I could, but I found out that I had so much more stress and I was trying to meet their expectations. I was trying to meet their expectations their way. Now, what I'm going to say is that now I'm meeting my expectations my way and realizing that I can change them even more so, and I'm becoming more empowered to do so because I'm not trying to fit into someone else's mold. There is this freedom that we speak about. But now let's really get into this. We talk about being free creatures. We exercise it all the time, but we usually exercise our freedom in being limited.
Mm.
So if it was a relationship standpoint, we go, oh, hi, you're great. Oh, yeah, let's be together. Let's have fun. Let's do all of these things together. And, yeah, let's be free-flowing spirits, and let's just go where the moment takes us. And then someone exercises that freedom outside of your comfort zone, and then suddenly it's like, hey, wait a minute there. Hold on there, buddy.
Exactly.
I'm open this right here.
The chains come out of nowhere. Quick!
Right.
And the lock go down. Okay. Okay.
So
oh, wait, my friend has his hand up. Will you talk with him?
Yes, exactly. Oh, of course.
It's going to be very in line with what we're talking about. Hi, A6O,
sure.
You're on the air.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, Dawn. Hi, Goldie. How you guys?
Hey,
hi. Thanks. Yeah, I just got a question, you know, bringing up relationship-wise and things. I got, I'm in a relationship, or thought it was and things, in one, and I adore the person. I'll do anything for her. But, you know, and you guys hit the button right when you, that last comment when you're talking about, you know, comfort zone and things like that. Because, you know, talking about, oh, she wants to expand our relationship. And, you know, and I'm walking eggshells then, you know, because it's been on and off for a while. And things, but when we could say start off and things, I think where it started off, my son got married about a month ago and things, and I didn't really invite her because every time I invite her to a social event, you know, a family event, she always denied it, you know. So I took it in my hands to say no sense of asking her because she'll say no anyway. So, you know, I think that's where it started from there. And then we went down farther and things. Then, you know, to talk about being in a relationship, then I find out that she's seeing her ex-boyfriend, per se, and things, and I confronted her on it, and she goes, it's my life, you know. But if it's her life and she wants to go into a relationship, I don't think that's, you know, I think it takes two to do it in a relationship, not just one.
Yes.
You know.
Who, Don, you want to take some of this? Or do you want me? It's your call. I'll let you have first crack.
Well, you know, it's really an honoring where the relationship is at. There is a relationship at a certain level. It's when there becomes an expectation of what that relationship is that all of our hang-ups start. So because of past experiences, you made an assumption, and so you weren't necessarily in the present moment or opening to the possibility of a new awareness being brought to the relationship. And that's cool because that's where you were at. And if you have an expectation of a relationship that when you're in a relationship, it's, you know, just one way that, you know, there isn't multiple dating or, you know, multiple partners or whatever you want to call it, then that's okay for you to be in that place. And then you have to be honoring of where that other person is at and not have the expectation that it's different and just go, oh, what we had was great, and let's move on to the next greater thing. Because as we're evolving and we're raising our vibrations, we can only bring into our current moments the next greater thing, the next greater awareness, the next greater relationship, the next greater level of love, all of that kind of thing. Does that make sense? Does that help at all?
Al?
Not really. Because this is what I don't understand. Like, was he trying, you know, at first he wants to make, you know, broaden our relationship, you know, like the next step and things. So I said, you know, okay, you know, I'm trying to figure out what way to go to try to, you know, go, you know, to go the next step. Then, you know, it's like, here I go. I walk into a wall. I find out this happened and things. So, you know, but in my mind, it's just put another way of saying, she don't want a relationship. Go any farther with me. She just, that's it, you know.
Well, one of the things you want to take a look at, too, is that when you are looking at going the next step in any form of relationship, it's never about you advancing with another person. It's about you advancing to where you can be within that relationship. And I would say one of these things, too, let's understand how, and I've done this in my past relationships as well, as I've looked at the other person and I said, they are my reason for living because when I'm around them, they make me feel this way. And I was giving all of these reasons for all of my romantic ideals and intentions. Now, the truth of the matter is, I was using that other person as an excuse to feel those emotions. I said, I only feel this way around you because when I got around them, I made that decision to allow myself to feel this way. Now understand this, love in your mind, in your heart, is completely different than how love is for me, and it's different for that other person. And since we are freedom-seeking individuals, you know, I said earlier in the show that we've been conditioned this way to place our value outside of ourselves, so thinking that if someone does not appreciate you the way that you think or feel that you need to be appreciated, does not want to be around you the way that you would want someone to be around you, guess what? You put out this asking and if that you want to be around the person that's going to do those things. But because that person is seemingly rejecting you does not make you worthless. Okay? That was one of the biggest barriers that I had to deal with because I had this belief that if someone was rejecting me in some way, shape, or form, that meant that I was unworthy. That meant that I was not valued. I devalued myself because somebody else's opinion about me and who I was not who they wanted to be. But guess what? When I found out that when I was who I wanted to be, when I am the way that I am, happy, outrageous, I am so optimistic. I know and believe within my heart that the past does not equal the future. And my present moment status within my life does not mean it's going to be like this in the future. And I'm so certain and I am so comfortable in the fact that I believe right now that things can be different in my life. And I know that they're changing. Guess what? The universe comes to me and shows me that that's the exact truth. So no matter what another person wants to do, they can do whatever it is that they like. I don't have to interpret what they're doing as saying as I'm devalued or less than. Because this is how the program works. Hey, baby, you're with me now. And this is the type of person that I want to be with. And since you're with me, I need you to become that person. Now, I know you might not be
this person that I want, this person that I want to be with, because I don't know that I'm falling in love with my fantasy and not paying attention to this real person that's in front of me. So now, when you can understand that that's where a lot of people function from, because they don't know how to not place their value on an outside circumstance, not to place their value on someone else's thoughts about a relationship, let's bring it all back to you. I said earlier to Goldie, I love you so much, I don't care what you think. I'm going to switch this for you. I love me so much, I don't care what I think. Now, the thoughts that you might have revolving around this other person's actions within your relationship were detrimental to you and you were choosing to feel bad. I'm giving you an opportunity, and if you would like to take it, change your perception of that situation. Give yourself the gift of understanding that no matter what that other person does, you can choose to love you better. And when you love you better, my friend, that is when you are so attractive. That's why we are attracted to the people that we are attracted to, because they are full of themselves. They are full of themselves in the best sense, that they are loving who they are, that they are loving how their life is flowing. They love everything about their doing in the present moment, and we go, oh, my God, they look good. I'm attracted to that. Now, I want to give you a gift of being more attractive to you. You are responsible for your happiness, not another person. Would you be willing to take that as a possibility and to see how that's true for yourself?
Oh, it's hard to say. You know, it's, as they say, it's back to, you know, step one again and things like that, old beliefs, you know.
Right.
Like, say, you know, to me, when in a relationship, it takes two people to work a relationship, not just one. I don't care, you know, yeah, you know, old or new, it still takes two people in a relationship.
Yes, and what's causing you pain is how the relationship is evolving or how you want it to be, and it's not how you would imagine it to be. That's where the pain is coming in. And again, I don't want to get you stuck in the old story, you know, because again, you can choose to have a new story right here, right now. You know, yes, it takes two to be in a relationship, and the relationship will be as it is. Because here's the thing, my friend, it's one thing to make your relationship work, but then there's another thing to allow your relationship to work. You ever tried to be in a relationship with somebody that didn't want to be in a relationship? I have. Oh, man.
Really?
There was nothing but struggle, pain, and strife there.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to break up with me for a whole year and didn't even tell me. And then this guy comes up out of nowhere, and I'm like, who's this? And it's like, oh, it's my fiance. Oh, okay, see, this is a cops episode ready to happen right here, you know, because no one was authentic. Nothing was going the way that I thought it was supposed to, and yet you've got this, you know, and here's this person that's, you know, that's giving me all of my story, all of my feelings of rejection, all of my, I did all of this for you. And here we go. Here was that victim. You know, so that was the old story. Choose a new one now, okay, because it doesn't matter what they said. I asked you to take the peanut gallery out of the equation. So please, my friend, for the benefit of you, take the peanut gallery out of the equation. Because you choose how you feel. And you can choose to have a new idea on how you love yourself. Because, and quite honestly, my friend, the choices and the beliefs that you have about old relationships, if what you need is to be in that space and say, I need this type of relationship for myself right now, that's where I need to be with, to honor myself, then go right there. Go right there, because that's the best place that feels good for you, and that's what you want to create. And when you're ready to move on, then move on freely, because I don't need you to be happy. I make my choice on giving you the ideas and the gift that you can choose to be happy. Now it's up to you.
Can you choose the new paradigm now?
Don't know.
And that's fine. Are you open to the possibility of having a new experience with this situation that you're dealing with?
Maybe. It's hard.
I hear you.
What if every day was completely new? What if every day, every single relationship was completely new, and we didn't have any of that old baggage, and you walked up to this person, and this person walked up to you, and you looked at a space of newness, would it be someone that you would still be attracted to continue a relationship with? Forgetting everything from the past.
Yeah. But if you know it's going to proceed on the same level, it's hard.
How do you know that unless you're pulling in all the history and not opening to the newness of what it can be? It's just a theoretical question. Jeff and I, go through some of this relationship stuff, and truthfully, he'll say to me, we talked about this like a month ago. And a lot of times I go, did we really? He's like, yeah, you brought this same thing up a month ago. And I go, oh, well, it's coming up for me again now. But I just like am so in the moment all the time with where I'm at. And I don't necessarily, it's always my stuff that I bring up. And it may be how I'm triggered from something in our relationship, but I know it's my own thing to work through. Like, we'll pick something crazy, and this has never even been in our relationship at all. But let's say, Jeff doesn't pick up his dirty socks, which is not true. He does all the laundry in the house, which I love and is wonderful.
but a metaphor,
let's say all of a sudden this is like bugging me, and I go, Jeffrey, why do you leave your socks laying around? That bothers me.
No.
That's not the way I address it at all. I go, gosh, he's leaving his socks laying around? Why does this bug me? What within me is triggered from his socks laying around? And if I really don't like it, I can go throw his socks down the laundry chute,
Right.
Rather than historically, this is what he's done, this is what he's done, this is what he's done. I look at, oh my gosh, what about this is triggering something within me to cause this reaction? And it's never about what Jeffrey's doing. It's always only about what I'm doing. And then I forget it. And then, 3 weeks or 2 months later, maybe the same thing will pop up. But I'm the type of person that kind of needs to talk it through. So, I talked to Jeffrey about this stuff, where Jeffrey kind of works through his stuff on his own.
Yeah.
And so it is just a different way of communicating. And, I always say, Jeffrey, this is not really about you, but can you just listen and observe this for me? And maybe by me just talking, I'll get some awareness out of this. And sometimes maybe he'll say 5 words that really bring me to a new awareness in the situation. So that's kind of a different way that I look at things in life.
Don't worry about that time, Dawn. Just keep going. There you go.
I just forget it, and not that it just like goes to that unconscious place in my mind. And then maybe I do get triggered by it again and I come to another awareness about it.
Let me ask a question, though, and this is a for Dawn or Jeff, but I think it'll help Al. How important is communication?
Communication can be clear on your end, but it's not your responsibility for the other person to understand.
And for me, communication is different. Like I said, Jeffrey works through stuff on his own, whereas I have to vocalize stuff. And it's not that I necessarily expect Jeffrey to have an answer for me.
Mm-hmm.
I just am more verbal and auditory and sometimes need to talk things through to come to my own awarenesses.
Mm.
And where I find communication is so important is in every morning we check in. What's our schedule for today? You know, what meetings do you have? You know, more just like, are we going to be able to do dinner together? Are we not going to be able to do dinner together? Because our schedules are crazy.
Right.
And
right.
So that's where communication is so important. And then, oh, we're going to set aside this whole big block of time on Sunday or whatever to just be together. Or, oh my gosh, we haven't like been around the house or done anything in the yard for 2 weeks, so now we have to spend a whole day, you know, reconnecting and catching up and working together to get things done. So,
well, but don't you think it would be important for Al to communicate his experiences to his partner or to this person from a standpoint so, you know,
Not necessarily.
No.
Jeff,
okay.
Are you going to say yes? I'm going to say no. Because for me, it's like those are the old stories. And, you know, it's okay to maybe say, I'm getting triggered. I get, you know, this is my favorite word, like triggered. You know, Jeffrey, because you're leaving those socks laying on the floor, I'm getting triggered.
Okay.
And it's something I need to work through.
Well, and you're saying that communication isn't necessary because it's always coming about, it's always about self. That's why communication is not always.
Okay. Right. I don't need to tell him my story necessarily around that.
Right.
And I don't need him to tell me a story about why he leaves his socks laying there. You know, I don't need to, let's say it's about past relationship trigger. Oh, my gosh, when you did this, it triggered something from my ex-marriage, you know, from my ex-relationship.
Right.
It's okay to say that. And do I necessarily have to go into all the feelings and the whole detailed story around that? No.
Agreed. Well, I mean, there's got to be a baseline, no? Is the baseline then at least being fully taking ownership of your experience in the relationship? I mean, Al has to take ownership of how he feels
right.
And then
no,
choose
what,
from there.
Yeah, what I was going to say was the clear communication needs to be between him and him.
Indeed,
And with what he's actually feeling and why he's feeling that way. And, you know, that's where I was saying, too, that, you know, you're responsible for your clear communication. You're not responsible for how the other person understands it.
Indeed.
And even when you are telling yourself a new story of understanding, why do I feel this way? And because it can be a very, you know, small amount of reasons of because, okay, I feel this way. This person said this to me, and I feel this way. You know, at least that's giving you an idea of understanding where your feelings are going. And then understanding that the fact that the feelings that you are feeling, if they are a negative emotion, then the exact opposite is the real truth, the real emotion that you are wanting to feel. Because when people were rejecting me all over the place, the only thing that I wanted was that acceptance. And because I was not accepting of me as I was, well, then the other people's rejection of me made so much sense.
Right.
But then when I started to accept everything about me, well, then I found myself not having to go for someone else's acceptance. I found that because I loved me, I see and find people that want to and like to love me as well.
Indeed.
And I don't let it have to all come from one person, because I get different forms of love in different ways from so many different people, and that can be the same for all of us.
Right. All right, we've actually gone past the 2 hours. Al, thank you for calling in. I hope this helped. Jeff, can you give your information? And then Dawn, can you give your information? Where people can find you, and are you open for sessions? Maybe Al, maybe you'll do sessions with Jeff.
Sure, if he likes, he can. If he likes, he can contact me through the website. It's synergy.com, CINNERG.com. You can find out more about myself. We've got some information for Dawn on there as well, but she's got some new stuff too. So, Dawn.
Cool.
Okay.
Good, good.
Dawn, can you share?
I'm sure I have a link through synergy.com, and but my direct email is dmleader@earthlink.net. If anyone is interested in getting in touch with me, I do have lots of new exciting things going on, and Goldie and I will share that in the near future.
Indeed, indeed. No, that's all good. Listen, thank you both for being here. You guys, we do rock shows. We do. I mean, we rock, we roll, and we do all everything else in between. We're like the tumbler of the stone. You know how the stone tumbles? It gets shinier and shinier. That's
right.
What our shows remind me of. Because we were all coming in with some, it felt really powerful energy. And there wasn't a synergy at first, and then once it hits, it's like, wow. I really like the way we dance. I'm hoping you guys will come back on the show, and we'll rebook you real soon, and have an amazing week, everybody. Next week is Daniel Jacobs. We're almost 5 minutes past, so I'm going to get going. I love you guys. Thank you so much for sharing your energy and your wisdom. Jeff, you're fabulous, as always. Dawn, mwah, always love you, girlfriend, always, and I'm very excited for all the new stuff going on with you. Can't wait to talk about that. And Al, I hope everything works out well for you. All right, everybody have an amazing week. I'll talk to everybody next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.